Today, on the Nerd Outcast podcast, we talk about Shadowrun. I'm your host, Chris Bashan, and like I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to talk about the tabletop RPG phenomenon that has spurred on board game, card games, video games, pretty huge franchise, although is it still relevant? I don't know. Shadowrun. Real quick, as is typical for my podcast, I brought on a group of experts who feel they can speak with some authority about this given topic. My first expert has been on before, and his name is...
Patrick Sweetman.
Welcome back, Pat.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So you were on the D&D episode.
Yep.
Convenient.
Yep.
So you have some experience with tabletop RPGs.
Yes.
What games have you played, and what's one of your favorites?
Shadowrun is actually one of my favorites. Got into that, was it 89 when that first came out? Mm-hmm. I was a huge fan of that. This was, I started with D&D, and Shadowrun was one of the things we kind of branched out in. I forget some of the stuff we played. It was a Robotech role-playing game.
Robotech.
Paranoia was fun. Rifts, yeah.
Very nice.
But yeah, Shadowrun was always one of my favorites, mostly because of the setting.
Okay. Is Shadowrun your favorite?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, really?
I've gotten to enjoy Star Wars lately, playing the Saga Edition, but from like my classic role-playing time in high school, Shadowrun definitely sticks out.
And have you played any of the card games or the board games or video games?
No, I played one of the video games a few years ago on, I think it was PlayStation.
Okay.
But other than that, no.
Is that horrible first-person shooter?
More or less, yeah.
That never existed.
That second voice that you're hearing in the room, sitting directly across from me, is...
Brad Rady.
Welcome back, Brad.
Thanks, ex-wage slave. Glad to be here.
So, was Baldur's Gate the last episode you were on? Was it Baldur's Gate?
Baldur's Gate?
Yeah.
It was like two or three that we knocked out last year.
I'm remembering
it's
Baldur's Gate.
It's been a while,
Well, we know that you're a PC gamer.
Yes, sir.
Now, have you played the tabletop version of Shadowrun?
I have, most recently.
Oh.
Maybe about a year ago, I was playing it. Got to learn the somewhat, I think, maybe slightly overly complex rules, but it's a lot of fun rolling those six dice.
Mm, you haven't played second edition Dungeons & Dragons, have you?
Not lately.
Oh, there's complicated systems.
Yeah. Thaco.
Thaco. You've played the video games, correct?
Yes.
Awesome.
That's where I get... Sort of cut my teeth.
How do you enjoy, what do you enjoy more, like where is your preferred Shadowrun? Do you enjoy it in the tabletop setting or more in the video game setting?
I have to admit that the video game setting, it's a bang for buck, frankly, time-wise, you just kind of can do more, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. We'll touch on the games because I'm really curious about them. Excellent. My third outcast, or expert, my third expert who you heard just a moment ago has also been on before, and his name is...
Rob Shoemake.
Hi, Rob. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, man.
Hey. So, yeah, I feel probably you and Pat probably adventured together. Is that correct?
Pat got me into Shadowrun.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
I brought it to Nashville from the Great White North.
Yeah. Winter came.
Convenient. Were you playing tabletop RPGs at the time?
Yes, I was. I had just been introduced to D&D, second edition.
It's actually how we met.
Yeah, it is.
In the romance blossom.
Thanks, Jack.
There is a role-playing bromance going on in this room. I just have to know, have any of your characters ever killed each other?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
We're pretty amicable.
Yeah. Okay.
Even
I've had many friends try and kill me in games, so I just
wanted... How bad are you at games?
It was just in Shadowrun.
How do you define friends?
Yeah, I know, right? Rob, what RPGs have you played? More in the tabletop realm than
video games. Pretty much all the ones Patrick said, because we played them together.
Okay.
On top of that, I played some horrible Dragon Ball Z game that some one of my friends had written.
Nice. They should license that.
And then, I'll be G&D and Star Wars.
Cool. Is Shadowrun your favorite world or favorite system to play in?
It's not. It's not. As of late...
Tales from the Floating Bard?
Tales from the Floating Vagabond?
Vagabond.
Yeah. I wish we could find a copy of that. Look it up, Chris. It's a lot of fun. probably right now Star Wars or fifth edition D&D I've been enjoying.
Okay. Actually. Great. Very nice. Well, those are my experts for this podcast. I will be serving as outcast because I haven't had a lot of experience with Shadowrun. I've had a decent experience with D&D and Star Wars and a very popular Dragon Ball Z game, but not Shadowrun. I had one Shadowrun game that I will talk about that was a very interesting experience.
Apparently your co-players tried to kill you in?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. That was a really great...
Didn't
it was fun.
Did I run you in one?
No. This was run with my friend Zach and Jeremy in Tennessee. But let's get some of the details out real quick. Shadowrun is a cyberpunk urban fantasy role-playing game or world published by FASA, which is with magic.
Mm-hmm.
FASA, which is a corporation that was here in Chicago.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they were located on Van Buren Street
until
they closed. Good thing I did. Mm-hmm. Which I guess makes sense because isn't there a lot of Chicago in Shadowrun?
Like the primary city that it was based around was Seattle.
Oh, Seattle.
Well, they did have the expanded, you know, universe for different cities.
Okay. It used a six-sided dice system. And it was linked to another game world called Earthdawn. I've never played Earthdawn, so I don't know what that is.
Oh, was that the off branch that they did was supposed to be like the older, more magical version?
Oh, okay.
That came out, I believe, later on. Okay. It used the same system, but I think it was the same magic, but you didn't have the technology because it was set back in the way back, the more of a fantasy setting.
Gosh, what a horrible move.
Well, they're riding high about 3 years into it and decided, oh, let's find some way to crash the whole ship.
Street Sam back cool then would have sucked.
Shadowrun was published in 1989. FASA, the corporation that owned it, closed in 2001, but the property was sold and has transferred hands a few times since then.
Real quick, is it FASA or FASFA?
FASA.
There's another F in there. Okay, I'm pretty
solid. Yeah. Yeah, and that's all I know about Shadowrun. So, first off...
Well, let me bring you up to speed.
Yeah. let's get it.
So, when it first launched in 1989, it was set in the future year of 2050, mostly in Seattle, where magic had come back into the world, but we still had cybernetics and advanced technology. The Earth had pretty much gone through this big... was it cyber attack that had like destroyed a lot of the technology and information? So that also fed into civil wars happening. You had the Confederate States of America. You had different independent groups. The Native American groups had come back alive. So
really, basically, what we're seeing in the U.S. right now.
Yeah. just the magic hasn't.
The current political election. So.
Give it time.
Was there anything like it when it came out?
No, cyberpunk was the closest, and that came out just about the same time.
William Gibson.
Well, some of the William Gibson type novels.
Like Neuromancer and whatnot.
So the cyberpunk role-playing game was still kind of that futuristic, like 2020s, and you know, the cyborgs, you know, being able to jack into the computers, kind of, you know, pre-Matrix kind of ideas, but they didn't have the magic aspect. Mm-hmm. Aside from just magic wielding that Shadowrun had, this magic awakening that happened, I think it was like 2025 or something in the book. Or no, it was 2012, it was right after the end of the Mayan calendar is when the magic reawakened. It's amazing how much I remember this. But we also had, you know, mythical creatures. Dragons came back, trolls, orcs, elves.
And they all spawned from humans.
Latent genes basically were reacted. The dragons had actually been around. They'd been kind of dormant in the earth, and they were kind of, the magic came back, and they were able to, you know, kind of wake up.
I've never played, what was it, Cyberpunk?
Cyberpunk.
Is there magic and elves and whatnot?
No magic in that. That's straight tech. That's,
okay.
You know,
it's basically Shadowrun without all the magic and elves and stuff. They're fairly similar.
You get the cybernetic limbs and stuff. You get that, you know, technological aspect, but it's, you know, more running around guns and shooting. So.
Okay. What's the tone of the game? Because the game I played had a very specific tone, but what is
Shadowrun? It tends to be dark because it is a future where the corporations have kind of taken more control. The governments don't have as much. If you've got money, you know, it's kind of the 1% kind of rules everything. The middle class is very small and there's a lot of poor, a lot of people just trying to get by, make money. You know, kind of dark, not completely dingy, but, you know, slightly dystopian future. Kind of think Blade Runner kind of.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Was very
and
much
a
like.
Lot of the corporations, don't they, to save face, so they don't openly attack one another, use Shadowrunners to, which is where the name comes from.
It's an actual thing.
It's almost like a cold war between the corporations, the megacorps. Yeah, they don't want to be seen as outwardly taking a move against the other one. So yeah, they hire these people, Shadowrunners, people that work in the shadows.
So it's actually a thing you do, like a Shadowrunner.
You are a Shadowrunner. Yes.
Okay.
Usually a fixer comes to you, Mr. Jones or something like that. Mr. Johnson, yeah. They'll hook you up with a job to, you know, go do this for, you know, an unspecified client.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. The Blade Runner comparison I've heard before, or at least like an inspiration.
Yeah. And I think that movie, that, you know, that world was a big inspiration for how they set this up.
Do you all feel that Shadowrun has kind of informed cyberpunk more, like the genre of cyberpunk more than, you know?
I think it's born out of it, and it's helped it, but, well, it didn't come by itself. Things like William Gibson, the other cyberpunk games, other movies like Blade Runner.
Because that was like late 70s, early 80s, right?
Yeah, when Neuromancer first came out, I think it was late 70s. Yeah. Was it? Maybe it was 81 or something. But yeah, but those things all, just society-wise, those were coming together. That's kind of where a certain facet of science fiction was kind of heading.
It's a genre of science fiction I'm not very familiar with. So it's,
I mean, it borders fantasy. I mean, it is fantasy.
And it's mostly computers was the big kind of, I guess, inspiration for it. It was these fancy new machines coming out, and imagine the connectivity.
And this was one thing that Shadowrun had that I don't think cyberpunk really had it, but that idea of the Matrix. And this was a very William Gibson idea that this same Matrix that, you know, and when you think of the movie The Matrix, it's kind of similar. And so it was this very enveloped. If you ever saw the movie Hackers, not a particularly great movie, but that,
I love that movie.
But that representation that movie did of the inside the internet was kind of what Shadowrun's interpretation of inside the net was.
I remember when The Matrix came out, a friend of mine was like, oh, they just ripped that off from Shadowrun. Yeah. I was like, what?
Were they called Netrunners in Shadowrun?
I believe that was it, yeah.
What was it called in the other?
I could be wrong. I could be getting confused.
Yeah.
No, it was Deckers. Deckers was in
Deckers,
Shadowrun.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Netrunners from Cyberpunk.
Yeah, when I think of Shadowrun, I think of like Blade Runner comes to mind. Deus Ex, the newest Deus Ex actually, or the series Deus Ex actually reminds me a lot of Shadowrun. Have you played those?
Yeah.
Run?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Played those first two, yeah.
Very much like cyber warfare and whatnot. The only thing I can think of role-playing wise, like tabletop, that kind of reminds me of Shadowrun is Eberron, the campaign setting for D&D, which isn't really by any stretch, but it's like the closest. Steampunk. It is very more steampunk than it is cyberpunk.
There's actually a new series of books out by some guy named Forbes. I can't think of his, I think it's like M.R. Forbes. And he is, it's kind of redone the Shadowrun world almost. It's the exact same idea where magic has like come back into the world. Humans have burst into trolls, into elves, dwarves, and stuff like that.
And there was a long series of Shadowrun novels as well.
Oh, yeah.
The
game spawned, and they're fun. I read a lot of them back in high school and college.
I trolled.
So
Dunk was on for president.
To my tabletoppers in the room here, back in the 80s when this game came out, what drew you to it versus like D&D or other role-playing games?
Oh, that's easy. Patrick.
Yeah.
Aside from Pat, what did you...
I really enjoyed playing Riggers.
Yeah, because I'd been playing it, and I brought it to our group. But for me, it was the group I was playing with when I was living in the Detroit area. It was mostly D&D and a few other things. And then this came out. It was like, hey, it's something new. Let's give it a try. And I really took to it.
The different character classes were really neat. The one I just discussed, the Rigger, was basically... They sit in the vehicle and pilot these little drones, or they can have little drones follow them around. And they
do the thing like the Deckers that we were talking about in The Matrix. You actually like plug a jack, you know, straight into your head. You basically got the surgery, this, you know, plug that you click right into, and you download your consciousness into the net.
It's about 50 years into the Internet of Things actually taking off, and you actually can get your garbage can to attack your toaster or the corporation, you know, down the street to find, hack some nodes and get some data.
Yep. What are the classes then? Like, you're throwing classes out, and I'm kind of curious, like, what?
Street Samurai was always my go-to.
Yeah,
I remember.
That was basically your kind of warrior type. Usually had some cybernetics.
A lot of cybernetics.
The good ones did.
The physical adepts were fun as well.
They were like the magical version of the Street Samurai.
Yeah, they relied on the magic for their additional powers.
You mentioned Rigger, which was... kind of like the necromancer controller of technology, whereas the Decker would kind of get that on the back end.
Yeah. They were kind of the hacker version.
And everything has a a matrix node, so to speak. Yeah.
Were they called mages or wizards?
You had two versions. Mages. You had shamans and mages. Oh, yeah. Okay. So the shamans were more spirits, Native American spirit-based magic, and then mages were more kind of just pulling power from, like, within, or, you know, different talismans or focuses.
Conveniently, magic was revitalized, I think, through, I don't know quite the backstory, but through the dragons? Weren't the dragons kind of
it all tied together. It was the end of the Mayan calendar at the end of 2012, where it was the awakening, where a lot of the magical forces kind of came back, so it allowed the dragons to kind of wake up. A lot of the Native American tribes, they were able to do, like, these big spirit things. Everything just kind of came, that started there, but I think it came to a peak several years later in their timeline. But the first, I think, instances were that Mayan calendar of 2012.
Yeah.
Are these classes pretty? Are these classes in the games, Brad? Yeah. Are they pretty reflected in the video games?
Absolutely. Oh yeah, 100%.
I think they also have the adept, like a physical kind of meta magic.
Yep.
Yeah.
You improve your strength.
Magic. You're like kind of a psyche thing.
They have all the classes from the game in the role playing.
And then you can pick any number of human, dwarf, elf, troll, ogre. Or orc, rather.
Or half orcs,
So here was, like, my experience with Shadowrun, and this is what...
Rolling a ton of six-sided dice and not knowing what you're doing?
Sounds about right.
Rolling the six, like, all those six-sided dice was always, empowering.
I would say that was the biggest shortfall of the game.
It's the reason I have many six-sided dice, to say that.
Before I tell my story... was when it came out, like Shadowrun would have been up against second edition D&D.
Basically, yeah.
Was the system, because I wasn't playing back then, was the system seen as a little more antiquated, or was a little more advanced and easier than D&D?
Different.
Yeah. I never really understood it, even though I ran some campaigns.
I was trying to remember it, because it's based on six-siders and the...
Numbers of successes,
it was number of successes. Like, you would roll umpteen number of six-sided dice with a target number of, say, five.
And every one you got
five or above was a success. But if you got a one on other dice, it took that away. So at the end of it, you had to count how many dice were. And it bogged down combat. It bogged down so much stuff that the mechanics were just cumbersome. But they were trying to do something different. As you said, second edition D&D had just come out with Thaco and the D20. They were trying to, a lot of games at that time that were coming out were trying to do their own thing. And this was what they latched onto for, the game designers thought that this was going to work.
It's a good try, I thought. Keep it to the six-sided. You don't have 15 different types of
games. Yeah, but it just got hard. Especially combat. How in role-playing games combat can drag anyway. And then you just got, trying to count dice, you're rolling 15 dice for a character that's advanced in certain areas, and then trying, counting and minusing, and then you got to compare the other guy who may have dodged it, how many successes they rolled for the dodge.
GM's going to do that.
This was my experience with Shadowrun. I only really got to play one game, and we were commissioned to go on a Shadowrun. Duh. And we did like some
Mr. Johnson, tall, short.
Yeah. And it was we went on this corporate espionage, attack. Turns out that the owner of that corporation was a dragon. Mm-hmm. My character, Mostar. My character discovered this. And the mission.
I feel like I should know this corporation.
I don't remember it. I don't know if this is normal, but the game I played was very lethal.
Yeah, it could be.
It really depended on
how you were playing, but it could be.
Yeah, I remember, in one roll, I went down, not the condition track, but there was some other type of track that took me way down and out of combat.
And it's also possible that, I think there were certain ways to avoid that. Again, there was more of a self-defense or deflecting kind of that you may not have known about.
Armor.
Well, here's...
But it is a pretty relentless...
Yeah. Here's how our Shadowrun ended. And I don't know... Let me know if this is par for the course. There were four players. One died. One lost an eye. One lost two legs and an arm. One was
we
fine.
We never had that much dismemberment.
No, I was always in the van though. So
we had plenty of grenades wherever we went.
I was in the van with the autocannon on the
right?
top.
Yeah.
And I mean, I really liked that. It was really cool. Like, oh, Zach lost his legs and his arm. Let's carry him out of this building as it's burning down around us.
And call him Vader from here on.
And if that arm's got a nice cyber arm, or you drop money on that. So yeah, same thing. Your cyber eye gets removed, and you're in trouble.
And
maybe the GM just wanted you to have to go get cybernetics.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know. Except for the guy
who died.
That's
like if you were a magic user, because anytime you got cybernetics, it took away from your magic capabilities. So it was harder for you to do magic.
Your essence.
Yep.
You had an essence, and when you got cyberware implanted in your body, that took away some of your essence, so your magical abilities were diminished.
So. Yeah, it was a crazy game, and I really enjoyed it. I would love to play again. It was such a fun experience.
I've actually been looking
for
the book. Yeah.
So how, like, compared to like the games that you guys have played or run, like how does that kind of sit? Is it and here's my other question: if it's so much about like going on shadow runs, does that get boring after a while? Like just going on mission after mission?
I think it's like any role playing game. It all depends on the story and the game master. Yeah, I mean.
It's a well-written run.
Exactly. Or, yeah, I've had good Dungeons & Dragons and bad Dungeons & Dragons.
Right.
You know, it all depends on who's running it, how the story unfolds. I think, you know, because I played a bunch, you know, had a lot of fun. I think even about some of those pre-written adventures that we did with us, which were kind of limited success. I don't know if you remember those. Back in the day, like Dungeons & Dragons.
The modules.
Shadowrun had some of those.
I've never played those. Even with D&D, we usually don't play those. Most of my GMs,
we never played them much, but we had them around. Every once in a while, we'd pick one up and try them, and then just get bored with it.
To shift focus real quick to the video games, I know there was a game released for the Super Nintendo. There should have been. I think there was one for
Genesis.
The Sega CD.
Really?
I think even had one. Yeah,
I don't remember these.
Those first two were fantastic. That's what got me into the whole environment. Because actually, I had two older brothers that played the pen and paper version, but I was too young and the youngest of three. So they were like, no, you go away. So video games, thank you very much.
I can't see it as a console game. Like I could see this as like a Baldur's Gate
it's
type
interesting, yeah.
style. So how does it work?
The first two were very, very different.
Okay.
They were two very different games in basically every way. The first one for the Super Nintendo was very story driven, very narrative, a bit more atmospheric, I guess you could say. You wake up with a bomb in your brain. You wake up in the morgue.
Nice.
You scare the hell out of the mortician there. And he locks himself in the closet, I believe. And you wake up in this room, and it's a very kind of point and click adventure type of game.
Like a LucasArts adventure?
Yeah. Very set environments, nothing random at all. And so you kind of had to really click that one closet or sewer drain where the key was kind of thing, which sounds not as fun as it actually was because it was very engrossing and cool, again, driven by the story. Whereas the Sega Genesis version, you're flying into Seattle because your brother just sent you a holovid, or someone did. You get the information that your brother and his team got wiped out in Shadowrun. So you, with your last 200 New Yen, fly into Seattle to avenge your brother's death and figure out what happened. And they plop you down in the middle of the Barrens in Seattle, and you're off to the adventure. And that was a lot more action-oriented, the Sega Genesis version. You go on, get your missions from your Johnsons, and if you know what I mean. And you could pick your... That was a bit more limited than the newer games, which are fantastic. Big shout-out to Harebrain for putting together a lot of fun times with the newer versions. But the Sega Genesis version had only three classes, or actually I think it was only two. You'd either pick Street Samurai, Decker, and maybe there was a third one that nobody picked. The Shaman.
Or something.
Yeah.
Really? Because the Decker, I always found in the tabletop game, the Decker was the one that was just...
That also...
You had to throw something in to...
Yeah, and the Decker, we always struggled incorporating that in our role-playing games
because it was like,
and then there's like, everybody else in the party is just sitting there for 45 minutes while you're off with the one person trying to do the internet,
Matrix stuff?
Yeah.
But in the video games, or at least the Sega Genesis version, the Decker, once you got a little bit good, it was the quickest way to make money, because getting those...
Yeah, you just steal everything.
Getting those Matrix runs, hack into Ares, find some data or upload some data, make this guy look bad, make this guy get fired, those paid. And those were the easiest you could crack out.
Even in the newest games, though, it kind of feels, oop, now let's take care of the Decker.
Yeah, it's a tough balance for the same thing you're just saying, because during battle you even go into the other world and you're like, all right, everyone else is just frozen in time,
And the annoying thing is, because that internet matrix world is all supposed to be, not instantaneous, but very short time span.
Right.
So, well, you've been messing around for 45 minutes, it's supposed to take 13 seconds in the real world.
Yeah. Right. Very very Matrix-like in that, where you get jacked in and then it's all brain power. But yeah, still limited by those tricky time and space things.
I want to pause real quick on the video games just because of some things that have come up.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like there's a lot of really incongruous elements trying to come together in the series. Like, you mentioned like having essence, but getting a cybernetic would lower your essence.
I think that made
sense.
It work.
Yeah.
Does it work?
Thing, this was kind of a hodgepodge of your future, your technology, your magic, your fantasy. But they found a way to kind of make it all work. Our biggest arguments are about the mechanics of it, how the game system worked, not the story and the idea behind
character
it.
Building is actually
pretty solid. Yeah.
Have they fixed the system? Like, do you?
I picked up the latest one a couple years ago.
It
didn't seem like I was thinking about running one, but I never read the book.
I remember the Matrix thing. When I played, I don't remember having someone hacking into the Matrix, or if they did, our GM handled it very quickly.
Usually, unless you had somebody on your team that wanted to play a Decker, you usually didn't bother. You would just hire an outsider, an NPC to do it.
So then it would take 13 seconds.
Okay. So what is the prescribed party makeup?
Any role playing, it depends on what you're planning on doing, and the GM should also GM should shape your run towards your party as well.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say you could have three street Sams and then still have as much fun as running a Decker, Netrunner, Decker Rigger, and Shaman.
You're basic, shadow running it. Oh, we're going to break into the corporation, steal the information, sell it back. That's kind of how you start. That's kind of your introductory first time you play. Those are the kind of adventure you're going to run. But as you continue to play and build characters, you're going to do much more complicated stuff. It's like Dungeons & Dragons or any other role-playing game. The universe keeps expanding. Mm-hmm. You might travel to different cities. You might get embroiled with, megacorps versus the government, because there is still governments around. They're just, some of them not as powerful. So you could be a revenge plot. Maybe somebody killed your brother. Bomb in your head, these things from the video games and the novels. You do whatever you want. It's role-playing. It's fun.
As I remember the environment, it was the governments really are barely holding on. The corporations, they created their own kind of self-governance.
And as I was reading the novels, they fleshed a little more of that out. Like the Seattle area, they're really very little government influence, but the United States controlled the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they had a stronger hold there.
There was a
Native American nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, some of them had more influence than others.
They got a lot of power back with their shamans and with the magic coming back.
Are there levels?
No, I think it's more of a power.
Karma.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
You got karma. So
you could spend karma points to raise body points or
raise your stats.
To improve your character.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't, like I said, I only played the one game, the one mission, which was I think over a weekend of two or three games at the most. What's the longest that you guys have played? Because I played a ton of D&D.
25 years ago, yeah.
We ran the same character
My character Harley was around for a while.
Yes.
Oh, yeah? Oh, I'd love to play like a long run of Shadowrun. That sounds cool.
Yeah. Well, we can take a look at the book.
I've still got the book, yeah.
That's what I said before about the video games kind of being good bang for buck. Just like with D&D, you know, the pen and paper version, you can spend 4 hours getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Or you know, getting snacks or something, like, you know, just the simplest of things. You get jumped, then you fight.
To jump back to the games, Brad, what in your opinion, which is the best Shadowrun video game?
The new ones definitely take a good run, but I have to say the Sega Genesis version.
Really?
Yeah.
A console version. Oh, man. There's not like a Baldur's Gate. I know there was a first-person shooter that everyone seems to poo-poo on.
That does not exist.
It's all
that game came out for Xbox 360, I think. Yep. Maybe the first one was 360.
360, I still
have. And all of my friends that I had talked to Shadowrun about, who hadn't played those previous games, had picked this up and go, "What the?
Yeah.
What the hell is this?
Didn't you
not
play it for like a weekend and then we were done with
it?"
It
was an embarrassing excuse. It was basically a really, really crappy first-person shooter with the occasional jetpack and, oh yeah, there's elves.
And it was all PvP. There was no story.
Right, no story. It was basically just an arena-style first-person shooter game that was horrible and should not have existed, and as far as I'm concerned, didn't.
This is something I think, the story is so important.
It's
the story,
important.
The setting,
the atmosphere,
that's what you get
the language, the narrative of
it.
You know, Chummer and the Mr. Johnsons and
Never Make a Deal with the Dragon.
There you go.
You really need to read those books I was talking about. They're about a necromancer.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Genesis and Super Nintendo versions are pretty easy for me to acquire.
You absolutely should get your emulator on, yeah.
There isn't like a really great PC one?
Well, those are the new versions.
Okay.
And those are kind of the more isometric top-down.
Are they like Diablo or?
No, it's turn-based.
Okay.
The action is turn-based. A bit more kind of your Baldur's Gate style.
Okay.
You've got your team and you usually have your home base where you kind of, you know, get your missions from through your computer or your contact or whoever, not to give anything away in the games, but everyone dies.
Aw.
Yeah.
Well, I feel you just gave now. Everybody dies.
But it's again, the Shadowrun environment, the universe is an unrelenting, like the games I think do that intentionally, where it's really hard. It's hard to survive, you know, when you're in a sea of filth and you've got all these.
And if you're a Shadowrunner, you're one of these people on the fringe, and that you're being used by whoever, megacorps, dragons, governments, you're being used by somebody. So
people,
it's really easy to get just chewed up in the gears.
Yeah.
And people, nobody wants to be a Shadowrunner. This isn't like an aspiration for someone. It's usually, like I said, you know, a wage slave gets fired and he's out of a job and now he's
has
got nothing
choice
to do. And there's these things called the SINs, the self-identified number, I think it is. So it's basically an implant that is your, think of your passport and your driver's license and your
social
citizenship
security number.
But
once you're flagged in a certain way, you can never get like a job again if you've been flagged as somebody who stole something or whatever, even if you're framed.
So as far as I know, every Shadowrunner is sinless, where they get it either removed or wiped so that people can't identify you. So you're basically off the grid, so to speak. Yep. You can't ever go legit, be a cop, get a corporate job.
Unless you fake your sin.
Unless you get a fake identity or something like that. But, so nobody ever wants to be a Shadowrunner. It's usually a last resort kind of a job or, you know, a revenge thing or some sort of passion project, I guess.
So I've got several questions that I want to throw out to all of you. And then a couple of specific questions for you, Mr. Rady.
Okay.
So my first question is a two-parter to each of you. What are the strengths of Shadowrun and what are the game's weaknesses?
I think he's already answered, Pat did, because the story and the setting of Shadowrun are, I think, its strongest assets. And then its system.
Yeah.
It's probably its biggest downfall.
Really? The system is that?
It's just
cumbersome?
It's kind of cumbersome. It bogs stuff down.
Really?
Yeah, stuff like I don't remember. Do you remember playing second edition where when you would have to like look up, oh, what's his armor class? You know,
yeah.
It just slows it down.
Just
yeah.
pull up a character sheet. It's like 2 pages.
As much as I'm not a big D20 fan, it would benefit to be on a system like that. But they probably don't want to pay whoever owns the copyright on
Wizards
that.
Wizards of the Coast now, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow, they're still using the D6. I mean, Star Wars used to use a D6, so
yeah,
okay.
but they've moved on. But yeah, if they could fix the mechanics to make it go smoother, it would be a lot more fun. But I mean, you think about it, you're playing a guy who's running around with a cybernetic arm, who's got like a link to his gun and his eye, so he automatically has a targeting system. They moved into nanites and everything else that you can mm-hmm. have, growth hormones to help, you know, your body heal and prevent toxins. And
or
you're running around being a badass.
You're a troll mm-hmm. with armored skin. Yep. Yeah, I mean, not too bright, but it doesn't matter because mm-hmm. you can crush them.
Or you have a fleet of vehicles and drones that
right.
you have to control and
have a shaman
with
a bear. Your bear is your totem and stuff, and you're calling magic and raining down hell.
And the Decker can hack into the Matrix and take control of one of your drones.
Mm-hmm. Do you all feel like if you're new to role playing, it sounds like you're all drifting around? You would not ever start someone new to role playing with a Shadowrun game, like you
just because of the mechanics.
Yeah.
Jump into like D&D.
Yeah, because I think anybody new to role playing, you want something like a D&D, an introductory course, just into role playing to get you know, because people coming into it fresh just have to understand that tabletop, you know, role playing mentality, how you imagine the universe and how things work. But then, yeah, if you want to do a totally different setting. Because these days, I don't think cyberpunk's around anymore. I think this is mm-hmm. the only setting
yeah.
like this.
I wanted to talk about that. Like, I don't... Like, I've always known of Shadowrun, but I've always known it as a good, like, B-series. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, people were playing their D&Ds, yeah. and now Star Wars has really mm-hmm. become popular. And Shadowrun has always, at least in my culture or atmosphere, been a good B-series. It does it really yeah. well, what it does. But, like, nobody's playing it. Like, all people are always playing D&D or Gathering.
Its
Magic
heyday
or...
was definitely the early 90s, and then it dropped off significantly. I think it's been trying to come back over
yeah.
the past few years, obviously, the video games.
They just put a new edition out, too. So,
but, yeah, I mean, I can't argue with, you know, the B, you know, strong B.
Do you think the genre as a whole has just kind of dropped off? It's not as...
I think
probably computer games are taking it
yeah.
over a little bit.
It's so. The accessibility of it. It's
mm-hmm.
it's the rules and complex... mechanics of it have just there's that barrier there to mm-hmm. break in and really enjoy the game.
I think the people that are still playing it are people like me who still go to play tabletop games, and then you go into the store and you're like, oh hey, what is this? Or people that play board games, because board games are huge again now,
mm-hmm.
And they range all over the place. So you'll go into these places to buy, like, say, a board game, and you'll see, oh hey, here's the new Shadowrun book.
Yeah.
And what is this? Can you tell me about it? And I think that's how a lot of people are getting back into role playing again. Or people who just never, like us, never got out of it, mm-hmm. who introduced new people to it.
Right.
Is there a Shadowrun board game?
You know what?
I'm
actually
sure
looking up notes for this, I believe there are 2 Shadowrun board games, and I unfortunately don't have any notes past that.
I did not know.
Yeah, I would actually be very curious of like a Shadowrun
right.
board game. Yeah, it just kind of bothers me. It doesn't bother me. It's just I'm really bothered. The state of Shadowrun, like, I wish it was doing better.
I'm
like,
me too.
Yeah. It's because it's a really cool environment. Like, I, you know, again, getting into it with the video games, but I also went through the rule book and the artwork for it.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Like, again, it takes kind of those regular, you know, your usual fantasy elements of elves and trolls and magic and things, but it throws it in the future and it adds technology and it makes it dark and
some of the gorgeousness from like the beginning of Blade Runner with the
yeah.
sun and stuff
yeah.
and then you throw it's that got elements of that with the magic and the, you know, orcs, trolls, you know, and stuff.
I do like playing through Deus Ex again, or playing through Deus Ex for the first time has been like, I really love this like film noir Blade Runner,
totally,
you know, or even like talking about Final Fantasy VII, you know, like this mm-hmm. whole corporation espionage thing. Like, I really love that, and I feel it's really dropped off.
You can do that with this game.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. There's a new Blade Runner coming.
Well,
maybe that'll help.
Like, one of the novels, the main character was basically a private detective in Shadow.
Please tell me Harrison Ford's not in it.
He's in it.
Yeah,
he's in it. He's in it. And Ridley Scott's
Blade Runner 2049 or something like that.
Yeah. He goes on a mission to get medicine for his heart. I don't know. I'm making it up.
He dies in every movie.
He does die.
Spoilers.
Is Ione Sky in it?
So, Brad, I want to hit you with this question first. What would you love to see out of a Shadowrun video game? Like, if they were to do it again?
Multiplayer.
Really? Yeah. Like MMO?
Kind of do, like, maybe a... what was that D&D game they did where you could build mods and have multiplayer games? Shoot, it was just recently. Starry Night? No. Give me a second to think about that.
A PC game?
It was a PC game, yeah. Actually, my friend just sent me
I think they need to do this like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. No, seriously. That's like, that's Grand Theft Auto Online is great. Like, start small and just get the basic, you know, get the accessible mechanics of it because that's the hard part. And then, yeah, maybe some sort of massively multiplayer online thing if the kids are still doing that these days.
Neverwinter Nights.
Neverwinter, yes. There were a ton of mods for that. But a multiplayer, you know, persistent environment where, you know, you got to kind of work out the timing with the Matrix thing and everything. But that could be so friggin' cool is you get your team, you know, the instances would be, you know, raiding Ares weapons dealer to get some new secret cybernetic thing. That could be really, really cool and would be very, very, very hard to pull off. I mean, at this point, I'll just take a decent movie of it, which has never happened, and people have kind of always talked about it, but no one's ever really done it. I think there's another resurgence of talk about it. People are...
A Shadowrun movie?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But it's... That would inevitably probably suck.
Is there a game that you would point to if that's like Shadowrun? Like, okay, if you want to kind of get an idea of what Shadowrun's like, play this game? Or maybe something that does Shadowrun better than Shadowrun?
Nobody does about Shadowrun better than Shadowrun.
nobody know how.
I think, again, Harebrained, a nice little independent company that did the MechWarrior games, took this on, and I think did a great job of
what are they called?
Harebrained Schemes, I believe, is the full name of the developer. The lead guy has been around for a while, did Battletech and all that good stuff, and they're actually redoing a Battletech game right now. Which looks
really?
Fantastic. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm on the Kickstarter for that one. So,
well, that's what these started.
Yeah, and these were all Kickstarters. Absolutely.
Wasn't there a Shadowrun Kickstarter?
That's what it was.
Yeah,
that's
oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. So their most recent Battletech game is Kickstarter. All of their games, as far as I'm concerned, are Shadowrun. And they got a boatload of money for their first Shadowrun game.
Yeah.
I think it was, gosh, I want to say 10, but millions of dollars.
Wow.
Millions of dollars. Well, they were surprised. And the one...
See, it's still popular.
It's kind of always simmering, you know, like you said, it's kind of at that B level, but it's
so
very
close.
Much there.
It's
yes.
Like it's almost at that tipping point.
Do you have Steam? Hmm? Patrick, do you have Steam?
Steam?
Get a Steam account.
Yeah, Steam's what you need to get the video games. Yeah.
All cool. The older PC games, you mean, or the new
ones?
No, the new
ones. Yeah.
Yeah. This is how I found there was a new Shadowrun game.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, to point to a specific game, like back up a second. They with the Kickstarter, they wanted to do multiplayer, but that was that one kind of component of it that they like, we can't do this right. We're not going to put out a shitty game. So they kind of backed away from that. But man, would that be cool? Just kind of a persistent, maybe kind of Grand Theft Auto-y type with, you know, a little bit more of the. Pace, I guess, of maybe a Neverwinter Nights or even World of Warcraft, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough thing to implement because there is so many elements between the Matrix and
the real world
and the character building and the cyber and the corporations and all of these machinations. So I think actually Deus Ex probably does
a pretty,
pretty
decent
close
job.
The first one.
Mm-hmm. Minus the magic and
I guess they don't really have the magic in there, do they?
Not the one I'm playing.
Yeah,
but yeah,
Human Revolution is.
I'm playing Human Revolution, right?
And there were even older. Have you played the original Deus Ex games?
No, I have not played
those,
the original.
The second one sucked, kind of. It was okay, but that first Deus Ex was also very good.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think the biggest problem with the newer games is that it's maybe a bit. first of all, it's kind of easy. Second of all, it's a bit too linear. Mm. The environment, the game shouldn't be linear, which was what the Sega Genesis game did so well. It was very open. You had to go find the bar to find the Johnson. You had to have enough money to buy a contact from him so you could go talk to this guy, so you could get into this club, so you could get access to this person. It was very...
So what you're saying is this should be more like an Elder Scrolls Skyrim kind
of thing. That's a good point. That is a very good point.
Just started again.
See you in a few months.
Yeah. To my tabletop players in the room, what would you want to see, like... What would you want to see from the series to like?
What actually got me back into it and got me thinking about it again was those books I read. And I just looked it up. It's the first book is called Dead of Night by M.R. Forbes. It does a really good job of capturing the Shadowrun spirit. That got me thinking about it again. I was in a gaming store, saw the new book, called Pat, and he's like, "Yeah, I bought a new version a couple of years ago. Here, let you borrow it." So I've been looking through it, and I think I would like maybe the movie would be the best idea there for it.
That would get, I think, the interest in it again.
Because I think a video game would be real hard to do with.
But at the same time, you know, the video game technology is advancing, so maybe in a few years.
Yeah.
Get some Oculus.
You know. Maybe like the way that Destiny's working, I think it could work.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it would. I think it would definitely have to be an MMO type game.
Or something that you, again, build your team and there's these kind of pre-made runs for you that you could tear through one at a time. But that just wouldn't be as new.
Yeah, as popular as that new Blizzard game is, Overwatch, I just got bored with it real quick. Mm. So I think any too much pre-made stuff, I don't know.
Well, that's why your Neverwinter example is really great, because just having a toolkit that fans can make.
We've discovered our new Kickstarter.
Yeah.
We didn't touch on this, and I'm kind of curious about it. I've GM'd a ton of games. How is Shadowrun to GM? Have any of you ever run a game?
I've only run a couple of games. And I didn't know the rules well enough to be running it.
Yeah, because there's so much to know.
You know what I realized? After the fact, this was after we started playing like Vampire, you know, Werewolf, you know, that stuff. I think if you take the Shadowrun role-playing game with that premise, more of the storytelling aspect, and try not to get bogged down on the mechanics rolling a dice for every single thing, it flows a lot better. I still think they got to fix the combat and a few other things as far as the mechanics, because you do have to roll dice to resolve a lot of that stuff. But you know, if you can focus on the storytelling, it can flow pretty well because it's such a rich environment.
Do you implement a lot of house rules when you're playing?
No, it's got been so long since I was on it, so I don't remember really.
Probably 20 years ago we played.
Yeah.
I have to.
I mean, I remember running 2nd edition D&D, and God, that was really hard to run. So when 3rd edition came out, like, switching to one die was confusing at first, but then I was like, oh my God, this is a great idea. But even 3rd edition, the 3.5 and 5th edition all have like a ton of rules. So I was just curious how running a Shadowrun game would be.
And again, I think as long as you can kind of try to find a way around bogging it down too much with dice rolling, I think it moves fine.
That's why video games are so great, because that's all hidden.
Yep.
It's all there.
Just a quick click and then they can do all that.
Pat, is there anything you want from the games?
Just the mechanics fixed. I mean, I still kind of want to play again. Like the most recent version, you know, they've continued through the years to push the timeline. I think they're currently setting in like 2075 or something like that.
Yeah, 2075, I think it's there.
Which, you know, as I was flipping through, they're getting more and more into, you know, nanites, bio things and stuff, you know, aside from just, you know, the old clunky, you know, silver cybernetic arms.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to, you know, continue to see it evolve, just, you know, make it easy, a little easier to play.
When you pick those books up, what edition was that? Do you remember?
I forgot.
You have the one right before the most current edition.
Okay.
So there's four of them? Four editions? Five?
I think we were playing 2nd edition way back in the
Well, moment. Yeah, we started. I started on the original, but when I was playing with you, we moved into 2nd edition.
So I think they're on maybe their 4th or 5th iteration.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Maybe as high as 6th. I don't know. Let's check the internet, shall we? You guys discuss amongst yourselves something.
That's actually all the questions I have. Yeah. yeah, is there anything you guys want to touch on that we haven't talked about?
Talked about Dunkelsong. I tried to throw him out there a few times.
What is Dunkelsong?
He's a dragon.
Is he he like the Gandalf of the world?
Dunkelsong ran for president, actually. He won, then he was assassinated.
Yeah, is there like a specific element of the game? Like, so like for instance, what is it called? Forgotten Realms. Elminster mm-hmm. is like the Gandalf of. Mm-hmm.
I think this Dunkelsong dragon would be the closest to that kind mm-hmm. of. He was the kind of super powerful one. He had what was it, Harlequin, who was like mm-hmm. this old elf.
Fifth edition is the most recent.
Magician.
Cool. Sixth edition is the most recent. Fifth edition.
Is there anything really? Just like throw away in the game. Like I feel like in just to relate it to D&D, I feel, what's a throwaway class? They've gotten better about this, but I feel for a while druids were a little throwaway and so were bards. Like there were better things to play.
I think there were some lesser classes or, mm-hmm. But that you never got much attention. I just don't remember what they were right off the end.
I don't think many people played riggers.
No, and I think it depended if you had to almost modify your adventure to incorporate them because it was very easy mm-hmm. if you didn't have a lot of vehicles in there to just ignore them. Although they did have drones and stuff mm-hmm. that you could command. But
which also did kind of slow down, again, the combat of it, which is this big problem where you don't just have your turn. You've got your turn and your two drones yeah. and your mm-hmm. car and your machine yeah. gun. Yeah. And your
yeah. all of them rolling 18 six-sided right. yeah. guys.
It's like in Star Wars when like three people are a Jedi and one person's a pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Womp, womp, womp. Yeah, I feel Star Wars does a good job of kind of balancing out its combat. It still has problems too, where in that situation, if you have your one person who is a pilot, it's like, what do I do with that character?
But the dragon thing I think is really cool because, again, I think you mentioned it before, but each area... each region has its basically kind of hierarchy of there's a, you're 99% in squalor, and then you've got your corporations, and there's probably a dragon somewhere at the top. And so your Seattle, your Hong Kong, your California, your LA, your East Coast, each very much like realms, but like mm-hmm. areas of influence.
Has the United States fallen? Is there no longer a U.S. government?
It's broken up. Essentially.
Yeah, the essence of the United States is the Northeast, I think all the way to Chicago, some of the Midwest.
Well, I believe Chicago is a radioactive wasteland where a nuke went off.
That might have happened in one of the later things. Yeah. The Confederate States of America, the South did secede. The West, the Midwest, the Native American nations, there's mm-hmm. a bunch of different things. Mexico's got something.
Yeah.
The, mm-hmm. Aztecs or something.
Yeah.
You're
so,
good.
Hi, how are you?
I brought you cupcakes.
We have a special guest.
With cupcakes. Oh, we always love it when cupcakes show up on the podcast.
This is one that says, "Go Cubs and Indians."
Yes, if you're listening to this, the Cubs and the Indians are in the middle of the World Series.
Both go Cubs.
Go Cubs. They're both red. Yeah.
Both colors. And this is one that's go spring.
So you've already eaten a couple.
Only two. Clients are supposed to eat them, but just me and Olga ate them anyway. Depressing when your clients don't want to just eat fat after this.
Sure, that's
because they found out you're an Indians fan.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of both.
You can't get a fan of both.
Well,
sad or war.
I don't have a lot of questions left, so I guess we have to slowly wrap this up.
We can quickly wrap it up.
Yeah, we can quickly wrap it up since people got to be places.
Yeah. Hi, cupcake lady.
Thank you, cupcake lady. So who's gonna run a game?
I'm looking at it.
If you want to take a look, or I can take a look. One or the other. Do we all play that one, or want to take a look at their more recent version?
From what I just read, I think the one you have is uh-huh. the most recent edition. Okay. They just made it prettier.
To sell more.
I mean, I'm gonna go hunt out this Genesis game in the Super Nintendo version.
Probably play it on your phone now.
Yeah, totally.
Probably.
But if you've got, I think there's a Halloween sale going on right now for Steam.
Oh.
Check it out. See if one of the first remakes or harebrained Steam games versions.
A lot of text space, so you got to read a lot.
Oh, that's okay. I like those for adventure, click and point adventure games. Is it on Good Old Games? Do you know?
It's not on Good Old Games yet. Oh, you're talking about the Sega one?
No, I just mean goodoldgames.com.
It's not. It's on Steam. Okay. It's exclusive to Steam right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not old enough to be on Good Old Games.
I think the other ones probably are, but they have to be.
Well, Pat, Rob, one of you needs to run a game. Yeah.
We need to run something.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, awesome, guys. Real quick, is there anything else that you're working on that you want to plug at this time that you wish for the listeners to know about?
I'm working on cheering for the Cubs to win the World Series.
Go Cubbies.
Yes, depending on when people have listened to this,
yes,
and the World Series has ended, yeah, if the Cubs have lost, where can they find
you?
Crying under my bed.
Okay, and if the Cubs have won, where can they find you?
Running naked down Michigan Avenue.
Why Michigan?
It just seems like a bigger street, you know, okay, more publicity that way.
Fair enough.
Matt, if someone listens to this in January, you know you still have to be doing that, right? All right.
They'll have to call me. We'll schedule a time.
Don't worry. The city will still be burning and it will be very warm.
The nuclear wasteland that was referred to.
Either way it goes.
Anything else you wish to pimp out, sir, that you're working on?
I don't think so.
All right. Brad?
Hire me. No, I'm not.
He's not kidding.
Don't
even
notice.
You can find Brad Rady's LinkedIn account attached to this podcast.
BradRady.com. Brad Rady Enterprises.
Rob?
I've got nothing.
All right, great.
Yeah.
If the Cubs win, where can they find you?
Probably at home because I'm going to avoid Wrigley.
And if they lose?
Probably at home because I'm going to avoid Wrigley.
Okay, great. Well, if you have any questions, comments, protests, or topic suggestions, you can email them to nerdoutcastpodcast@gmail.com. If you're in the Chicago area and you're not watching a Cubs game, go to Public House Theater. I'm in a sketch show called Bye Bye Liver, playing every Friday and Saturday night. It's a good time. You should come watch it. And if you're not in the Chicago area, go watch The Studio, the web series, online. It's about a Pilates studio, and a bunch of comedy ensues from that.
When
series.
Does season 2 come?
Your character's older brother in season 2, I hear, is amazing.
Oh, he's great. He yeah, did very well in season 2.
When can your audience expect season 2?
Well, hopefully the trailer for season 2 will be out before the end of this year. Season 2 will be out before March of next year, for sure. So
by next year, he means 2017.
2017. Unless you're listening to this in 2017, then go watch season 2. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming out and discussing some Shadowrun with me. I've been your host, Chris Bashan, and my guests have been...
Patrick Sweetman.
Brad Rady.
Rob Shoemate.
Thank you for listening. Go on a Shadowrun. Just go.
Make the movie good.
Get it to be Ridley Scott, and get Psygnosis to do the video game.